Well, welcome everybody. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic morning. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. And I have a fantastic show today, episode 53. And I have the lovely Anne McEwen here with me in the studio. And we're going to be chatting about how women can turbocharge their results in life and business so they can enjoy more success every day. So I'm fascinated to get into this topic with Anne. But before I do, I thought I'd give everybody an introduction into who Anne is. So Anne McEwen is a highly regarded master coach who empowers women to turbocharge the results in their life and business so they can enjoy more success every day. Many want this, but most don't know how to achieve it. Anne is the owner of 2empower.co and has created a step-by-step proven process for success that empowers women to take full control of their life and business by shifting the psychological barriers that hold them back from soaring. She incorporates NLP techniques when coaching or facilitating individuals and teams because she knows it's not enough to tell people what to do. It's essential to show them how to do it. Anne is also a published author, Take Back Control of Your Life Now, and the founder of Sydney Women's Self-Empowerment Meetup, which has over 500 members. So Anne is able to assist you and your clients by offering her expertise as a speaker, coach, and facilitator. So without further ado, welcome Anne. How are you doing?
Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's delightful to be part of your show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. And I love your, all the things you've done. You've written books. You've done everything, Anne. Busy.
Yeah, look, I never actually set out to build a business. It's just kind of grown organically through interests that I had and being asked to share my message. So, and of course, nothing happens overnight. It takes, it's taking time each year. I've just done something different to build on what I'd done the previous year.
Definitely. So maybe tell us a bit about you and how you got into this line of work.
Well, you can obviously tell I'm from Scotland.
I love the accent.
Thank you. From Glasgow originally, but I've lived in Spain, I've lived in London, and now obviously we live in Sydney. Great. We've been here for 12 years. We absolutely love it. My husband's English. My daughters are very Australian.
Yeah.
So we don't sound like a family. We've all got different accents, which is funny. And I actually have been in coaching most of my life. I've worked in corporate and charity and the education sector. But when I came to Australia, because my husband was traveling a lot, I didn't work. I actually loved that period. I was volunteering at the local school and being able to take the dog for walks near the beach and just living the life, really.
Lovely.
But I hit 50. My kids were looking to leave school. My husband's life was still very busy. And I hit a bit of a low, actually. I started to wonder what was my life about and what was I going to do with the second half of my life, because although 50 sounds old, I still felt I had a lot to give, and I felt the same on the inside. But I didn't know how to utilize my skills. And I suppose I hit a phase of being full of fear and doubt, to be honest, because technology had moved on. I'd lost my confidence being a stay-at-home mum. And so I did the thing that all clever people do, and I went to see a coach.
Lovely.
And she encouraged me to start my own business. Well, and at the time I was like, oh, I can't do that. I don't know anything about tax or business running or, and she said to me,
and whatever else.
And she said to me, just start really small, see ladies at your home, don't charge much, get them to give you feedback, and from there grow. And so that's what I did. And I started the meetup group that you mentioned because I wanted to be surrounded by women that were uplifting and empowering each other and not just moaning about their husbands. Because I'm really good at that when I get started. So I just didn't want that to be the environment for the rest of my days. And so in getting these other women together, they were sort of saying to me, well, how did you do that? How did you shift this? And what I realized was that through my NLP training and positive psychology, and I've done a postgraduate in chaplaincy, I worked in the school in the pastoral care unit, and even just as a mother, that actually I thought everybody knew what I knew. And then when I realized they didn't, and that I was helping them in the meetup, and then they would say, well, look, can you coach me one-on-one? And that's really how I got into this business.
Wow. And you know what? That's the most fascinating thing, because we all tend to, you know, work in our area of specialty and we go really deep and we become really specialist practitioners in what we do. And we assume that everybody else knows what we're talking about and knows the extent of what we do, but it's usually not the case.
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time. So it's quite fascinating that, you know, we have to really take stock of ourselves and say, hold on, we actually know a lot. And we have a lot of information to impart and a lot of guidance and coaching to give people, because not everybody's on the same point in the continuum than we are.
That's right. Yeah.
And so why just women? That's a very interesting niche area you've chosen.
Yeah, well, it was partly because hitting midlife as a woman and the empty nest syndrome and menopause and all those things I was going through, I kind of reached out to other women to say, does anyone else feel like this? Because to be honest, I thought I was weird. I thought, and I felt quite alone in that feeling. I was having all these hot flushes and emotions and, you know, I was finding myself more easily irritable and and I just didn't know what I was going to do with the other half of my life. And then, but other women were saying, oh, I feel like that too. Yeah. And so I suppose there was a bit of, you know, we are attracted to people that are like us and people that like us. And these women were like me and they liked me. And so the group grew from that. Also, I've got two daughters, and it was important to me that they learned. I wanted to be a good role model, because basically they had seen me having this very beautiful life, walking the dog and having ladies at lunch and whatever. But both my husband and I came from very working class backgrounds in the UK, and we've created what we've got. And I was worried that they would think that the whole world lives like this, when actually you have to work for it. And I wanted them to acknowledge that. And also when they were starting university, so what I said to them was, as you're learning your new topic, I'm going to be going to university of how to set up a business.
Fantastic.
And how to grow as a woman in midlife. And so as I just saw it as the start of a journey, and to be honest, I don't think the journey ever ends. I'm still on it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And I love the feedback that the coach gave you as well. Start small, ask for feedback, and then do something with that feedback and, you know, build according to the feedback you get. So that's such a fascinating and useful strategy, because a lot of times we don't do that. We just assume that everybody wants what we do, and we don't actually ask, is it resonating with you? How can we make it better?
Yeah. And actually it helped to build my confidence, because they were saying, this really worked. Gosh, that exercise was brilliant, or that piece of advice was terrific, or those questions you asked really made me think. Yeah. But then they'd come back with other things and go, nah, that wasn't so good. And so I thought, okay, so if I get rid of that, everything else they think's great. So it helped me with the next client to be able to know, have that confidence that what I'm offering really does make a difference.
Absolutely.
It's exactly that, isn't it? It's, you know, what does the client want? Not just what can I give?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, in terms of, you know, talking about women and turbocharging results, what are some of the stumbling blocks from a mindset point of view that do you think are, you know, causing women or holding women back from achieving what they really want to achieve?
Well, one of the things I know from my own life, and I've now seen recognizing a pattern, is that, and I don't work on, for me, it's not about gender per se, because you can get very masculine females and you can get very feminine men. Yep. It's more about the energy or the conditioning that we bring to different parts of our life. And what I've discovered is females, particularly those that have been mothers, you kind of have to let go of your ego when you become a mum, you know, because you're then not the number one anymore. Yep. And you're putting the kids first, and, you know, and if your husband's the breadwinner, you're putting him first and making sure he's okay to go and manage the stresses of work and looking after the house, you know, looking after the dog, all those things that come with that. And so I think women feel selfish if they put themselves first. And we don't want to be perceived as selfish because we're the nurturers, we're the caregivers, the men are the hunter-gatherers. It's, you know, they're meant to go out on their own and and forage and fight.
Conquer the world.
Yeah, whereas we're meant to stay at home and nurture, and so we maybe feel a bit judged by society if we're too ambitious. Or too competitive, or you know, so I think there's an element of being judged. There's there's an element of feeling selfish. And I know a lot of women will say, look, I'll get the family sorted first and then I'll do my stuff. Well, by the time you've got the family sorted, there just isn't the energy to do your own stuff. It's not even a time thing, it's energy. And so then, because things take longer to get off the ground, that can be disheartening. And then women will go, oh, it's just all too hard.
Too hard, forget it. I'll just go back to doing what I was doing.
And even for me, I mean, my family, they wanted to be supportive with me. In theory, they were, yes, mum, you go do this, this is great. But in practice, if the dinner wasn't ready, or the bathroom was suddenly filthy, or the groceries hadn't been brought in, it all fell apart. And so it was about managing everything. We had to have family meetings where it would be like, you know, you would have a business meeting. So let's have a family meeting. What do each of us want to achieve this week? And how can we help each other? So it's not just about what you want, but how can we support each other in achieving that? And that gave me a platform to be able to say, guys, if somebody would cook one night this week so I can do a Facebook Live or have a client on call or something, or if somebody would offer to put the laundry on Saturday morning so that I can write a blog or...
Great. I love that. I love that. So it's kind of like, it's a really fascinating way of putting it. I never thought of that, that women can feel guilty almost being selfish and trying to strive to achieve what they want to achieve. And you're saying a great way to manage that is to start having meetings around delegation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really fascinating. I love that.
And we drew up a roster then, and it's everybody's buy-in. Like my husband said, I'll put the bin out every week, and my daughter said, I'll hang up the laundry every week, and, you know, and it just meant then that gave me those chunks of time, but I also felt supported. And then in the family meeting, I would say to them, right, we all had to say to each other what we would give in return. You know, so my daughter might say, Mom, can you drive me to netball? Or my husband would say, you know, can you just make sure that dinner's ready when I come in? Because I'm starving when I, as soon as I get in at 7:30 at night. Or, you know, so we would all then agree to those commitments. This is what's going to help that person function better.
I love it.
And they would do things that would help me function better.
I love that. And do you think there, is there anything else that strikes you as a stumbling block for women? I mean, that's a huge one. Any other insights into the, you know, the mindset of women and what they might find as stumbling blocks?
Look, I think if you've been out of work for a while, see, a lot of women's careers are interrupted because they have a family. And, you know, hormones and everything have a part to play in that, you know, you become protective and nurturing and, you know, but then when the children start to become independent, and our role is really to help our kids to grow and fly. And one of my things was I knew I could become a very clingy mother with my children as they became young adults if I wasn't careful. If I didn't have something else in my life, I would almost be a burden to them.
Wow.
And so I was very conscious of not, because we don't have other family here. So for me, it was like they're my life, and the school community was my life. And when that went, it was like, well, what the heck do I do now? And so I think the retraining or the self-talk around, you know, I had worked in corporate, but I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I've got the confidence to go back into corporate.
So it's like that break in momentum can cause issues as well.
Even
though it might be absolutely fictitious, no reason for it at all.
Well, and exactly, and that's where the power comes. It's like we actually sabotage ourselves through our thinking. And we create these images in our own mind and these fears in our own mind and the self-talk that we talk ourselves out of even having a go.
Crazy. You know, it's amazing. The human being can rationalize and, you know, to the nth degree. It's amazing what we can convince ourselves of when we want to.
Yeah, well, one of the things I say to the ladies is that we doubt everything except doubt.
I like that. I like that. Awesome. And so tell us more, Anne, about how you actually work with women, and if you work with men as well, and, you know, what kind of program, what kind of process do you undergo?
Yeah. So what I did when these ladies started to say to me, because they watched me then create a business out of what I was doing. And so they said, how did you do that? And so I started to write down what I had done over the past few years. And what I was doing one-on-one coaching. The group was free, and that was us getting together and building each other up. And then if they wanted one-on-one coaching, they would come to the house. But then it got to the stage that I was spending every hour at home, and I was actually becoming quite down because I wasn't getting out. And also I couldn't grow because there's only so many people you can see in a day.
That's right.
So then I did courses on how to learn to leverage my time, how to do online stuff. So it was funny with the COVID-19 isolation, because I work from home and all my work is on Zoom most of the time anyway. So I didn't really feel much had changed for me. And in fact, I got busier. It's actually been a busier time for me, which is interesting. We all say, well, people don't have money now or whatever. I haven't found that to be the case at all. And so I learned online platforms and things. And then I had women that were working approach me and say, look, I'm in corporate. I need some confidence to step up. I'm letting all the men take the jobs, even though I know I'm capable. I'm holding myself back, again, because of family commitments, lack of belief in myself. I'm scared I might not be able to measure up. And so we would work on mindset. And from that grew going into corporations and companies to set up women's empowerment groups. Now, men are very welcome to come into these groups. There are some really, really supportive men within business. And what I say to my women is, it's not about expecting men to pave the way for us. It's about us taking responsibility for our own future and creating our own future in business and in life. And when you start to step up and say, this is what I want, because most women struggle to ask for what they want. They'll be the first to put their hand up and help someone else, but they don't ask for help for themselves. When they can see that as a strength and not a weakness and ask for that support, everything changes, because they step into their power. And I mean that in a really still that beautiful feminine nurturing way. A lot of women in business feel that they need to become masculine to succeed. And I would say the opposite. I mean, my early career was with BP Oil in the UK, and that's very male dominated. And I got away with murder for being feminine.
I love that. And just, that's really amazing, because, you know, women are women and men are men. We have different expressions. We have different emotions. We have different ways of being. So we shouldn't emulate each other. We should play on our strengths.
And that's what I say to women is just be you.
Yeah.
Because whatever you bring, it's like when we do personality profiles in business, you know, like, you know, somebody will be determined and driven and, you know, someone else will be the supporter and the, you know, and someone else is the creator and the imaginative one. And those people will find it very difficult to work together because they're so different. Yeah. But when you bring them in a team, that team will succeed because you're covering all elements.
I love that. And fascinating, just as a side question, I mean, obviously a lot of the corporates came to you to put on these programs for women, but did you ever have any pushback from, you know, corporations about, oh, why are you doing programs just for women? What about the men? Or did you have any interesting pushback in that respect?
No, I haven't. And in fact, what's interesting is in a couple of the organizations, it was through meeting men at networking events and talking about wanting women to step up within companies that the men invited me in to speak to the women.
Wow.
They were like, we wish some of these women would step up. We know they're capable, but they don't believe in themselves or they
wow.
Yeah, I've actually had, men are very, because my intention is not to be threatening or in any way, and like I have a great husband. He is very driven, very alpha male. I've got four brothers. I've got tons of nieces and nephews, and like I actually love men, and I love men's company.
Yeah.
And what I talk about is the balance. Women can bring that feminine leadership to the table that men don't have.
Yeah, and they see things a little differently, so they can, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's in different areas where men might miss things.
That's right, or a bit of intuition, or a bit of And my husband and I are like chalk and cheese in so many ways, but when you bring us together, we enhance one another.
Perfect.
But it's challenging. It's being open to seeing a different point of view. Yes. To learning from someone else in your team and saying, all right, she's young, she's female, or she's old and she's female. Yeah. Am I even going to listen to her? Yeah. You know, there's bias. And I used to say to my husband, like, you, this is a common complaint with women, but you know, I used to say to him, but you don't even listen to me. And he'd say, yeah, I do. And I say, no, you hear me, but you don't really listen. You don't really take on board that my point of view is valid, or that what I have to say could really have a positive impact.
Right. Yeah.
And then he sits and goes, "Oh, well, you know."
Love it.
And then I'll say to him, "Let's try it. Let's just try this one thing. Let's just try it." And I don't know whether it's going to work or not. I just have a feeling, an instinct. And
that's fantastic.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But if he's open to it, and then in the same way, then I have to be open to his suggestions. And I think, oh my God, that's the worst idea I've ever heard. But then I have to be saying, okay, let's try it and see. And then sometimes I'm surprised.
Yeah, there you go. So it's a learning curve for everybody.
An open mind. It's having an open mind. Mm.
Easy to say, isn't it? Very easy to say, not so easy to do.
Yeah. And personal development is all about looking at our own way of looking at life, looking at our faults, really, and our beliefs and our biases. And we do have them, and they're so subconscious that we're not even aware of them.
Definitely. I mean, you know, one of the main beautiful things about life is to learn how to grow. You know, if we stay the same for our whole life, what's the point? We have to grow and we have to push the boundaries within us.
Yeah. Well, that's where my feeling of this kind of lost feeling that I had, and sometimes I say, I felt quite depressed, and then people have got this really negative thing around depression. But you know what, if you actually think of the word to depress something, it's to push down on it.
Yeah.
And that was how I felt. It was like, oh my God, now I'm a woman in my 50s. Society doesn't really need me or appreciate me. But why am I sitting waiting on society to tell me that? I should be stepping up, knowing that for myself.
Yeah.
And it's like saying, no, I'm going to get rid of that oppression or depression. I'm going to raise myself back up again.
Wow. And now I have to ask, I mean, there's probably lots of people thinking and listening and they'd love me to ask a question about the perceived glass ceiling for women. What's your take on that these days?
Well, it's very interesting that you should ask, because I am I'm coaching a woman in corporate at the moment, and she has just discovered that a male counterpart is earning nearly double what she's earning. And she's absolutely devastated about it. And what she said, I mean, literally, this was just last week that she told me, she was phoned up by the company and offered this promotion because she's doing such a sterling job as a team leader. She's getting great results, sales results out of this team. And she felt so privileged that they called her and offered her this position. And they told her what the salary was, and she just accepted it. And she said, Anne, I didn't even negotiate. She said, I didn't even think to negotiate.
Wow. And it was half the salary of her male counterpart.
And she didn't know what anyone else was on. So for her at the time, it was a promotion both in stature and salary. But now, and you could say, well, you took it at the time, that's what you signed and agreed on, which is fair enough. But now that she knows that, it's left a sour taste for her. And actually she said to me, I need now to be able to find the confidence to have this difficult discussion with my boss about this inequality. Because one of the things that I deal with is communication and about being assertive, you know, and not passive or aggressive, but, you know, assertive in the middle. So it's definitely still there. Definitely still there.
Wow. And have you got any other examples, maybe examples of something, you know, situations where you've coached somebody and they've achieved incredible successes?
And I can't obviously give away anything personal. One of the things that gives me great, I mean, it depends what success is in your eyes. I mean, some people it's how many sales, some people it's money, but for some women it's success is just where they like themselves again, or they feel that they're going into their job skilled and confident. You know, that can be a great success for them. But around a sort of monetary or success was actually an older woman, well, a woman in her mid-50s, who she just found technology overwhelming. She found everything so challenging. She had very little support. And she was just ready to retire. She said, Anne, I'm just over it. I'm tired. I just feel I'm too old. I can't do this. I said to her, all right, let's do a 90-day plan. Just give me 3 months with you and we'll put together, we'll look at your skills, we'll look at your audience, we'll look at how you can put yourself out there. And in that 3 months, she was just flying. She'd more than covered the cost of her coaching with me.
Wow.
So she said, basically it was free to work with you because I made us more than I paid you.
Wow.
And she now has a terrific following, and she's actually done a similar thing to me where she's set up a group for women from where she's from.
Oh, wow.
So that really warms my heart. It just, because that was a woman who's got a lot to give, but was ready to give up. And I mean, she's late 50s, but she could easily work for another 10 or 15 years. And I see these ladies as women of wisdom, you know, like in the old days, the Oracle of Delphi or whatever, we would go and we would get wisdom. And I think there's a lot of women who now they're past the childbearing years, but have just got a lot to teach and share with the younger generation. Especially women who nowadays are so overwhelmed with social media and looks and money, and everything's false, you know, false eyelashes, false nails, false Botox, false and for me, the beauty and all that comes from the inside. It's about building yourself up from the inside.
Definitely.
Because when you feel grounded and secure and confident and your mindset is positive, then you glow from the inside.
Definitely.
And you don't need all that.
And you attract all sorts of people and opportunities to you.
Yes. You become a magnet. Yes. That's right. Exactly. Yes. And actually, that's what I've found through my business is that, you know, I get referrals and people talking all the time, phoning up, somebody told me about you or whatever. And I'm surprised at that. But I can see now that I'm attracting like-minded women who are ready to take their life and their business to the next level. And I get so much pleasure from it, you know.
Wow, that's fantastic. And does your meetup group still run, obviously?
Yes, it does. We had our last one online because usually it's local and we meet in person, but the last one we did was online, which is fine. And, you know, everybody is used to Zoom now and, you know, that was easy. And what I do now in that is I encourage the other ladies to lead a session. So one of the ladies does art therapy and she did this exercise with us on relaxation through art. And they all run their own business of some sort.
Wow, fantastic. Well, Anne, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think, you know, I love your energy and, you know, your insight, and I can see how you're attracting loads of opportunities and like-minded people because you've got a beautiful energy. And
thank you.
Just a nice calm demeanor, but very, very insightful and very capable. Absolutely. So if anybody wants to, my pleasure. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, to work with you, and or even do some of your courses or come to the meetup, maybe tell us a bit about how they can do that.
Yep. Okay. So my website is annemckeown.com. AnneMckeown. It's not the easiest word in the world to spell, but anyway, AnneMckeown.com. And I actually offer a free session. So if anybody wants to come and we just have a chat initially, and it's like, where are you at? Where do you want to be? And how are you going to get there? And also, you know, who are you and who do you want to be? And what shifts do you need to make that happen? And sometimes, you know, women will come to me and I think I can't quite help you, you know. So say, for example, really what they need is a relationship coach, or then I can point them in another direction. Gotcha. So that call doesn't mean that you're going to be sold to. It just means it's a discovery to see if we're right for each other.
Nice.
And if not, then I've got lots of other coaching contacts and I can put you in touch with someone that would be really relevant for your particular issue. You can, there's a calendar. I have a couple of slots every day that I keep open for anyone that just wants to come on and have a find out session.
Fantastic. And you do a lot of that through Zoom, obviously, as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And the meetup group, they can just find you on the meetup website.
Yeah. So if you go up onto meetups.com, it's the Sydney Women's Self Empowerment Meetup.
Right.
and there's a link to that on my website as well. And it's funny because when we talk about starting business, when I started with them, even meetup technology was challenging for me. And it said, you know, where is it? And I was put in Sydney, and then who's it for? Women. And then what's it about? Self-empowerment. And that's how the name came together.
Yeah.
So there was very little thought that went into it, but So again, you can find the link to that on my website, and I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and all those platforms too.
Fantastic. So I'm going to put all those links in the show notes for the podcast for everybody as well, in case you want to connect with Anne.
Thank you, Dan.
And is there anything else that you want to leave us with before we finish up? Any little tips or tricks, or maybe little mindset hacks that people can take on board right now and put in place?
Well, I would like to say thank you to you because I love what you're doing, and thanks for the opportunity to share, because obviously we all have our own wee pockets of followers.
Yeah.
And I love the opportunity, and what you do is so positive. So a big tick there.
Thank you very much.
And I think how you start your day is so important.
Wow.
So before we went live, we were talking about this morning.
Yep.
And one of the things that I've learned is that there's a millisecond between when you're sleeping and you become conscious. Wow. And in that millisecond, the conscious mind wakes up and goes, world. And we have two choices. We can either say, oh, it's dark and it's cold and I'm tired and it's all too hard and I've got lots on today and I can't cope and I'm not very clever, and we can start all that negative self-talk and hide back under the covers.
Yep.
Or we can go, oh, it's a new day. Great, I'm going to embrace this day. I've already got my warm slippers by the bed, and I'm going to go and sit and do a beautiful meditation or something to wake me up, or some yoga, some stretching, even just go and walk outside in the dark with the dog and just appreciate and smell the air and look at the stars, whatever. And give your mind the opportunity to feed the positives. We feed our body, but you know, let's feed the mind as well. And setting yourself up for success at the beginning of the day is really important. There's thousands of different platforms where you can get information. Your podcast, for example, would be a great thing for people to listen to first thing in the morning to direct their thoughts for the rest of the day.
Beautiful. I love it. And I mean, I listen to podcasts in the morning. That's the first thing I do as well. While I'm doing my social media and other bits and pieces, I'm listening to a few podcasts, my favorite podcasts, and that puts me in the right rhythm for the whole day. So yeah, absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Anne, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. So for everybody out there, Anne McEwen, fantastic lady and a fantastic coach. So feel free to get in touch with her if you're looking, and she's got her first discovery session for free. So Anne, thank you once again. And for all the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll see you a little later, actually, for episode 54. So bye for now.
Thanks, Darren. Bye.
Thanks again, Anne.